B-Pod Studios.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
Hi.
It is February 18th, 2020. Today is Tuesday. And welcome to the Manny Ryan Lorenz Show. Let's do your day in 30 seconds and find out what happened to everybody yesterday. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, Roy
Brown, everybody.
Hi. So, our boss wants to know our vacation schedule. So, I was talking with Sterling. We were trying to come up with our vacation plans. And it's sad. It's sad that we have to do this. But it starts with, ooh, let's get this. And then we see all the things that we want. And then we got to research to see if the spot is gay friendly.
You come up with a plan on location where you want to go.
Location, and then we find the room, and then we're like, okay, yeah, we can afford this. And then, like, the last check we did, we were thinking about going to Grenada for in the summer. And
Grenada?
Then, so, Grenada, is that what it's called? And then, I don't know, dude.
I was thinking about traveling to Japan. I heard Tokyo, Japan is a really good...
Yeah, that or Kanata, you know. One of the two.
I like Kanata.
But then we, like, Google, and they're like, oh... Not a big fan of the gays in Grenada.
That's sad, man.
You could be jailed.
Really?
Last thing I want to do is go on vacation and go to jail.
As a 45-year-old, soon-to-be 45-year-old straight man, I had no idea that it was, like, that bad. And I thought, like, we were making
Bermuda's
good movement.
Bermuda's another one.
Bermuda, too?
Really?
Yeah, they don't like the gays. So now it's like we're sitting there wondering, well, if we stay at a resort, you know, are they going to... You know, as long as we don't leave the resort, maybe they won't persecute us.
Don't go. Don't.
No,
I wouldn't even give him your money.
It's not worth it.
I wouldn't even give him your money.
So I don't know what we're going
to do. Go to St. Martin. St. Martin's a beautiful, beautiful country / island.
Is all of Spain like that?
I don't know.
Or is it just that location?
Well, there's a whole list of that the LGBT news flags countries.
Yeah.
And so we're just trying to go through them now.
I heard Dubai is a wonderful place for gay people.
Yeah.
So now it's
straight,
like,
couples can't even kiss on the beach in Dubai, I heard.
But now it's like one of those things where it's like, you were now Googling, like, other gay couples have gone. Did they make it out okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, what type of hostility exists? So it's just sad. It's sad, you know, but at the same time, we had a whole vacation plan. And then by 10 p.m., it was out the window, you know.
So back to square one.
Back to square one.
Can I ask why you picked Grenada to begin with?
Yes.
That is
a little random, right?
Yeah, I was just curious.
It was a hotel that we really liked that had, for the price and for the amenities, is for what we were looking for, it checked every box. Seems like every country else we went to was way more expensive.
Why don't you do, like, Hawaii? I heard that's a beautiful country.
Hawaii's expensive, too.
Yeah. We're trying to keep it on the cheap.
Is Hawaii is more expensive than going to, like, some Caribbean islands, you think?
It's more expensive than my trip to Barcelona.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, but, dude, it's like a 15-freaking-hour, 12-hour flight.
I know.
You got to stop somewhere along the way.
Hotels are really expensive.
So, Roy, your day in 30 seconds basically is trip booked, trip unbooked.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Ren?
I got home pretty early yesterday, laid down, took a little nap, got up, and got on my Peloton for the first time in 2 weeks.
I saw that.
I was like, I didn't do a long ride. It was like a 20-minute ride, but I have felt like absolute crud the last few weeks, and I just haven't had the energy to get on. And I was so proud of myself yesterday. I was like, I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it.
How long were you on for?
20 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did the full ride.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday, I had to go to the dentist to get a crown put in, and so they put a temporary in. And then last night, I was flossing, and I pulled the temporary out, so I got to go back today.
Dude.
I know. Ultimate F.
Well, why were you flossing to begin with?
I thought you weren't going to do that.
No, the doctor shamed me into flossing. So you're supposed to pull it through when there's a temporary, and I didn't. I pulled it down, and I pulled my temporary off.
Way better than me. I would not have flossed.
Well,
I'd have been like, I just had major surgery. I can't. I have an excuse.
So that happened. And then the other thing that was pretty funny was I called my internet provider to come, and they were bringing me new equipment. That's why my internet was out. I had an equipment issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, I get a text message. Your driver's 30 minutes away. and you can track him. So I track him, and he's coming. I track him down this, and we're sitting outside because it's beautiful yesterday in Charlotte. And the kids are outside playing. Next thing you know, I see the, I don't want to say the company, but I see the van drive down the street. And I'm like, Dent. And my thing, you know, hey, your tech is here. I pick up Ruby. We walk up the driveway. The van goes to the cul-de-sac, turns around, and rips out.
Okay.
And then I get the text on my phone that says, tell us how your service was.
What? Oh.
And I was like,
Not existent?
Yeah, not that great. So I called them and they're like, your ticket's still open. Your driver actually is coming back. So he comes back, parks out front and goes, which one y'all broke your internet, Roy or Loren or yourself? I was
Is he a fan of the show?
His name's Josh. Big fan of the show.
Okay.
And he tells me that like a firefighter, he was on his way to my house when another call came through just as he arrived. And he's like, I just have to go where they tell me to go.
There's emergency calls for internet?
I don't know, but he said that when he drove down the street, he called the supervisor. He said, hey, I just got pinged to go to another place. The supervisor's like, no, turn around, because he was working right up the street from me. He's like, do those two homes, then go to the other one. You know. So anyway, Josh, a big fan.
Annoyed.
Me too.
Big fan of the show. Big fan of Roy's Senseless Survey and loves the War of the Roses.
That's awesome.
And he works Saturday through Wednesday. So yeah. He listens to us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if you're listening this morning, Josh, thanks for the internet.
I had a guy give me a quote from my lawn yesterday, and he's like, my wife and everyone at the office loves you. I don't know if I can't really get behind. I don't really listen. But they were really excited that I was coming here. And I'm like, hey, yeah. That's fine. I'll take it.
In fact, I was listening to the station. What are you promoting for tomorrow? At 7:50, you're going to find out how someone is dating or not, or single. Nah, I can't get behind that. Boring.
But his wife does, which I'm very happy about.
Okay. All right, we are off to a good show. The Daytona 500 was yesterday. And
Brian Newman.
Congratulations to Denny Hamlin. And at the same time, what a weird win, yeah. Too, right?
I couldn't go to bed until I saw the news that he was okay.
I had to wake up. Because by the time I went to sleep, there was still no word. What time did word come down that he was in serious but going to live?
About 10:20, 10:30, okay. Ooh. Felt like.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, we'll fill you in. And also, you'll hear Jeff Gordon's comments about it just after the race to show you how serious it was in yesterday's Daytona 500. We'll have that coming up in just about 8 minutes.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
So yesterday's Daytona 500... it was postponed from Sunday to Monday because of rain. And then the number 11 FedEx, Denny Hamlin's car, he won it. But it was marred by just sadness and everybody wondering how Ryan Newman was after he crashed into the wall hard, Loren. And then after he crashed into the wall, his car backed out and another car hit him.
Yeah.
Driver's side door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well over 100 miles an hour. And
flipped.
Yeah, he flipped. I mean, it was a horrific crash. And so, Roy, I went to bed last night feeling the same way as you. I wanted updates. I kept refreshing my Instagram and Twitter to find updates.
It was so uneasy. I was watching the live feed because NASCAR set up a press room, and we were just waiting for any news, and everyone was speculating on Twitter. It didn't look good. I mean, even when they were extracting him from the vehicle, they put up those big black tall screens so you couldn't see what they were doing.
Like privacy screens, yeah.
And then Fox was on TV saying that they were doing CPR, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it was awful. But then he, around 10, I think it was like 10:20, they sent out that release stating he's in serious condition but non-life-threatening.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice message.
All things considered, from what we saw.
And it was kind of reminiscent of what happened to Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Which is the race ended. And it's weird because, you know, you want to cheer for Denny and Ryan Blaney, who, by the way, Blaney's a friend of the Manny, Roy, and Loren show. He's been on with us several times.
Yeah.
And Blaney crosses the finish line just behind Hamlin in the second closest finish in Daytona 500 history.
I mean, not even by an inch. It looked like it was just so close.
And Hamlin was the one that was behind Newman, trying to push Newman across.
So I didn't see the end of the race when all this happened. What happens at that point when there's such a terrible accident like that, I assume there's no victory road.
No, there
right?
is.
There
because,
is.
Because you don't know how serious it is. You just think an accident probably happened. And so Hamlin was celebrating, doing donuts in the grass. And he did the whole cheer thing, which he didn't know.
He didn't know, right.
And Joe Gibbs ended up going out and apologizing for, you know, that. But there's no way anybody would know. And I remember back when Dale happened, I feel like we knew after this was really serious. But I feel like with Dale, we didn't really know it was that serious until it was off the air.
I remember Dale, like it was yesterday. I was living in Tucson and I was watching the race. And Dale hit the wall in such a way that was kind of reminiscent of the way that Newman hit it. Which is almost like on their car gets turned, they hit the wall head on.
Yep.
And the same thing happened with both instances, Roy. It was, and the interesting thing about Dale, well, the interesting thing about Dale's death, that race, was it was Michael Waltrip's won that race.
Yep.
And Darrell Waltrip was in the booth and was super excited for Michael, but at one point says and looks, and you see the look in Darrell Waltrip's eye the day that Dale died. He looks and he goes, I sure do hope that Dale's okay, but I think deep down inside he knew it was way more serious than they were leaning into.
But the media wasn't, I remember watching it, the media didn't seem as solemn as it was yesterday.
No, and Waltrip was, you know, Michael Waltrip was excited for the for the win. But yesterday, and this isn't great quality because I just recorded it with my phone because I wasn't sure if we were going to find the audio this morning, but this is Jeff Gordon talking about it at the very end of the race when Fox signed off. Hamlin has already got the trophy. He is, you know, on the stand celebrating Daytona 500. And for those people that might not know, the Daytona 500 is basically the Super Bowl of the NASCAR season. It's the first race, and it's the biggest race of the year almost.
Yep.
Ryan Newman has been helped from his car by the AMR safety team. He's been loaded into an ambulance, taken to a local hospital.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal race all the way until we came into the trial over there. You know, safety has come a long way in this sport. But sometimes we are reminded that it is a very dangerous sport. And we just thoughts and prayers right now are with Ryan Newman and his family.
And you can see it in his eyes. He was just white as a ghost, you know, and people were speculating on that, you know, Fox stopped showing Ryan Newman. Well, of course, you know, even in football injuries, they don't show all the time.
I don't want to watch them have to extract him from the vehicle.
You just want to see him get out, though.
Yeah.
It's that accident, any accident, you just want to see the driver get out and just hold a hand up.
But if he can't do that, I don't want to see them work on him.
I agree.
You know, that's not for me.
We know a lot of the NASCAR family that works at a lot of the corporate offices listen to me, Ryan Laurent. I'm not sure who, is it Roush Racing? Is that who Newman's with?
Yeah, Roush.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we have people that work, you know, behind the scenes and stuff that are listening to the MRL show, maybe right now. And obviously, just like everyone else, countrywide and worldwide, we are thinking of Ryan and his family. So it was definitely a sad, shocking end.
Heart-stopping day. Mm-hmm. That was, oof.
Yep. Yep, for sure. All right, hang out, you guys. We got more planned for you on a Tuesday show here with Manny, Roy, and Loren.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
All the hits, Kiss 95.1 with the Manny, Roy, and Loren Morning Show. Backstreet Boys tickets for you. The Backstreet Boys are going to be coming to the PNC Music Pavilion September 22nd. Let's talk with call number 9. We got Hannah in Charlotte.
Hi.
Hannah, you get to play some MRL trivia and get these tickets for Backstreet Boys.
I'm so excited.
It's kind of like MRL show Jeopardy, where you have to answer in the form of a question.
Hannah, what is?
Okay. What is or who is, okay?
Okay.
All right, Alex Brown. Go ahead, Roy.
2 weeks ago, this MRL show member was named the germiest by a UNCC professor.
What is...
Who?
Maney.
That is correct.
Yeah, it sounds like she didn't even hear that segment. She's just taking a guess, but that counts.
You're right, but I've been listening to an audiobook for the last 2 weeks, so I was like, oh, I get to listen to the radio again today.
Oh, good.
All right, here we go. This show member has a degree from Harvard.
Who is Roy?
That is correct.
Look at you.
All right, and you really know us. In December, the Wren announced she's pregnant with a baby of this sex. What's the gender?
What is a girl?
Ooh, that is incorrect.
Sorry, it's a boy.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Get a 50-50 shot there, though.
What book is more interesting than the Meanie Roy and Lorenz show? We have to know.
Captain Underpants? No,
it was All the Light We Cannot See, but my students do love Captain Underpants, so I've read a few of those as well.
That's great. Where do you teach?
Down in Fort Mill.
Shout out to the Fort Mill teachers, mm-hmm. Hannah and Charlotte. You are going to the Backstreet Boys on September 22nd. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You got it. Hold on a second, okay? Oh, actually, she's good, right? All right, Hannah. Have a great morning.
Awesome. You too.
There you go.
Okay. See, I like the audiobooks too, but what you got to do is listen to the radio on the way to work and listen to the audiobooks on the way home
right.
from work.
Why? You don't want to listen to the Roy show in the afternoon?
Yeah.
See, now you can't listen to the audiobook at
that's
all.
That's right.
You got to listen to the Roy show in the afternoon too. All right, we'll do Backstreet Boys tickets tomorrow at 7:50. Your next shot to win Wednesday at 7:50.
Still to come.
You got to tell me if this is weird or not. And I think it is. My wife surprisingly said it wasn't. Somebody from my past reached out to me and wants information on Charlotte because they're moving here. But it's who it is from my past and the history I had with this person that makes it kind of weird, I thought. All right, you guys tell me coming up in less than 10 minutes.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
So tell me if this is weird or not. I had a very passionate relationship with a woman.
Really nice face.
Okay.
Whoa.
In 2007, 2008-ish in California. And the passion turned to anger when I was ending it to move.
You're using interesting words. Okay.
The girl I was dating got really angry with me and then immediately started dating someone else from New Jersey that she met on this cruise.
Okay.
And ended up marrying this guy.
Just stick it back to you? Like, you're going to be upset that she married someone from New Jersey?
You know me. I don't know. She was from a little town in Northern California and then, you know, dates me for about a year and a half. And then I tell her I'm moving to Memphis and I got to leave California. And she gets really angry with me and then goes on this spite cruise and meets a guy. And then she falls in love with this guy. And before I even leave California, you know, I had 2 months before I was leaving. She flew the guy in and we're all part of a big group of friends. So I tell my friends, we're out at the bar. I say, hey, I hear this guy's coming tonight. Just do me a favor. I don't care if you're nice to the guy. Just don't sit there and, you know, yak with them all night long. Like, be team Maney.
Right.
This is not a cool move. Like, she's doing this just to spite me, to get me upset. I go to the bathroom. I come back. My whole group's around the guy. Oh. All laughs, having a good time. Oh, the guy's hilarious.
It's Maney 2.0.
I was like, what is going on here? You know. So, I ended up moving and honestly, never spoke with her again. Like, after that night, I thought the whole thing was really weird. I thought she was shoving it in my face. You know, I wasn't happy about leaving. I had to leave and go take another job in Memphis. So fast forward, I get a friend request from her 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
On Facebook. And I accepted. I'm like, okay, it's been a long time. Let's see how she's doing. She's now married with kids to this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
I
have a DM, same guy. I have a DM from her as well. That says, hey, hope everything's going well. Your family looks gorgeous. I'm so glad to see that you've grown up. You know.
Right.
I have to ask you, my husband is a police officer and he's retiring and we're looking for a new place to settle with family. And we hear nothing but great things about North Carolina, particularly Charlotte. And she said, can you tell me what Charlotte's like? And I immediately go, babe, to my wife. I'm like, you, because she knew the history there.
Uh-huh.
I said, look who just asked me after all the stuff we've been through, you know, 10 years ago. Okay. But still, I wanted to be like, to like send back and be like, find out for yourself. I don't know. Like, I'm out.
You should
can I be out?
If I get that message, I'm literally typing back Charlotte sucks. Don't move here. The weather can't decide what it wants to do because I don't want her in my town.
I was just like, don't, you know, just because you buried that hatchet. And I know it sounds petty the way it's coming at it. I'm sounding like I'm holding a grudge.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Right. I just
sounds completely normal to me.
I just haven't been old. I just don't want to think about it. That case is that his history is closed for me. And maybe I shouldn't have accepted her friendship request. That's what Amanda said, is that if you didn't want to help her, you shouldn't have accepted. But once you accepted her friend request on Facebook,
Let's be honest, though. You were curious, and she was curious, and you both wanted to see each other's pages, which is why you friended and accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I did. I was like, I'm curious what she's doing. So anyway, I did finally send her back. Amanda's like, you're thinking...
Oh, so you did help her.
I did, because okay. My wife was like, you're thinking too much about this. This is a person who's married with children. You're married with children. She's not moving to Wax out of our neighborhood.
Which wouldn't it be funny? In a strange twist, she calls me as her real estate agent, and I put her right next to you, bud. I put her right in the same cul-de-sac.
Hey, Amanda, here she is. Remember you told me to hit her back? Have you guys met?
You have to see her every day. You do hold a little bit of a grudge, admit it. A little bit.
Oh, I mean, I do. That's why I closed the case there. It's like, you know, you ever been just done with something?
Yeah.
I mean, Lorraine, 100%. I know you. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to reopen that to help, but I did. I said, Charlotte's a great city, great place to raise kids. I told them I live in Union County, like outside the metro, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what happens. Well, I said, if you do move here, you got to listen to the show.
That's true.
Right.
But you know, when she moves here, it's going to open up a whole other box of, well, what should I do to take my fish? Where should I go eat? What should I go do this? And what's the best neighborhoods that I'm just saying, you opened up Pandora's box, and it's going to be many more recommendations coming from you.
Next thing you know, her and Amanda are good friends.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they'll be good friends. Amanda's Team Maney.
Okay.
Unlike my friends in Sacramento who turned their back on me immediately. Oh, this guy's hilarious. You should go talk to him.
Listen, I will hate her for you. I'll stand right by you,
bud. Appreciate it, dude. I appreciate you. I've seen you in action. I've seen you push people away from me. You're a team player.
Coming up next with the Maney, Roy, and Lorraine Show.
I stand by both of you to the very end.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, do we need to scrap what we were going to talk about next and save that for a rainy day so that we can talk about Trevor, our digital intern who had a struggle doing this basic thing?
Yeah, something that you think everybody should know. He doesn't. And by the way, it's not just one thing. It's multiple things. All right, we'll discuss. Coming up at 5. Don't go anywhere. All the hits, Kiss 95.1. It's the Maney, Roy, and the Ram Morning Show. We have a lot of bright people that work behind the scenes from doing our promotions to programming and the execution of this show. And some of those people are interns where they come in and we try to teach them things so that they can leave here and get a good job in the entertainment industry and become really successful. However, with that being said, sometimes we learn some interesting things about our interns, like they don't know how to do things, which fascinates us.
Well, simple things that the average person would know how to do.
Producer Nicole, we want you in on this conversation, too. You're in your studio. Jump on the mic there. Trevor's on the mic in here. Let's start by saying, Trevor, what was it that you didn't know what to do this morning when we asked you?
Okay, so boom. Actually, I kind of had like a good idea of what to do.
Trevor, what didn't you know how to do this morning?
First thing.
I didn't know how to put the paper into the printer, and I didn't know how to make a copy.
Okay, so let's break that down for a second. The printer was out. We said, hey, can you go and refill it? And then we find out that he had asked Nicole how to do that. And at first, my gut instinct was like, that's simple. But I get it, though, because whenever I run into that, I just throw a paper in all the different trays and hope one of it works.
Right.
You know?
Smart move.
Smart move. Just refill all the trays at once, and then the printer should work.
And if the toner's out, we wait till 8:30 till the office staff gets in here. We didn't need to print it anyway, is
Dang.
Our thought.
Right. Do not know how to do that part.
So that's how I wasn't going to, you know, be too much on you on the paper thing. I was like, okay. But then you said you didn't know how to make a copy. And we were like, what? You don't want to make a copy?
There's a copy button on the copy machine.
listen, relax, okay?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For me, I think that the size of the printer just scared me. I mean, the size of the printer is literally the size of a PT Cruiser. That's the size of the printer.
That's pretty big.
Nicole, what's the process when you hire interns? Do you take them into the printing area and say, hey, this is the copy machine. We print show prep and articles all day.
No, the process usually insists of just telling them where the printer is, and assuming that in their 20 to 23 years of age, depending on their age range, that they have come across a printer, you know, big, small, whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of assumption.
I don't think we need
But let
to
me tell you,
anymore.
I wear my expressions on my face. So when Trevor popped in to get in the middle of what I was doing to say, hey, how do I put paper in the printer? I had to do everything in my power to look at him like he is a good citizen, that he has not done wrong, and be like, well, here, let me tell you where it is. So that's what I said. I said, you just open the
open the drawer, put the paper
in.
Close now,
the
drawer. Okay, now so like Roy, I understand you might not know where the paper is. There's 10 drawers back there.
He had the paper. He brought the paper to me.
Oh, he brought the paper.
He said, where
to
do
you.
I put this?
And then I get that, though, because then there's four trays, because it is a big paper. So I always just refill all the trays.
Okay, so what? Even if you had, like, how big was your stack of paper? A couple inches? Like, was it 10 sheets?
Oh, no, it was just a couple of inches. It wasn't big.
Okay, so then you divide that up into, like, I don't know, 10 or 20 in each tray until you get one to work.
Yeah, and the copying thing is you never had to make a copy at school?
No, like, I've never had to do it. Like, I mean,
you're a senior at UNCC.
I work on my phone, like, and I go to the library to print all my stuff. I like, so printing is like copying for me. I just waste paper. Like, I'm a college student who wastes paper.
704 texted in, said, I'm a teacher, and I'm always teaching my high schoolers how to print and run copies.
Oh, like, does there need to be a class in schools on, like, basic office functions?
I always said that there needs to be a class in school on basic maneuvering in society. Like, there are things that we didn't learn, and now we don't use checkbooks anymore, but, like, did you learn how to balance a checkbook in school? You know what I mean? Like, and
they taught it, but I didn't learn it.
But you know what I mean? Like, the basic things, like, outside of that, how to fill out a W-2 for your company, or those things that you're never taught in school that are intangible when you get into real life. So they should have, like, kind of a society learning development class.
Intern Nick, come to the studio real quick, bud.
You know, I never knew that. At one point in my life, I didn't know how to use a staple remover. There's little claws. Remember that?
We found that out live on the air.
And then I never thought that somebody would actually be worse than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't realize somebody didn't know how to do something more basic than that.
You understand, Trevor, that the internship, for what you do as a digital intern, you're great at doing digital for us. You set up you do all of our video, edit our video. You work with programs that I know nothing about. But what's shocking to us is just the basic thing of, like, hey, I said, can you make a copy of this? And you looked at me and you go, how do you make a copy? With your deep radio voice. How do you make a copy? Nick, did you know how to run the copy machine when you got here?
Nope.
You didn't
really?
Know either?
Thank you.
I had
to go to
wrong?
Nicole, and she, we walk in there, and she puts in, she just presses a button, and it works. I was like, oh, okay.
Really?
Huh.
Nicole, we have to add it to our internship program.
There's going
to
be
day one.
Yeah.
Walk back and teach.
We just got a text message from 803 that says, I had an intern who was 23 who didn't know what side of an envelope a stamp went on. Or where to put the address.
All right, boys, we got to ask.
Do you not know that either?
I've never had to stamp anything before.
Oh my God.
No way.
I think
I'm quitting because we're
never
failing you as teachers.
Yeah.
Blame society. Don't blame us.
No, I mean, we're not blaming you. I'm not blaming society. You now.
I mean, if anything, like, that's information that I wouldn't put out there. I would look it up first before I tell anybody I don't know how to do it.
You've never put a stamp on an envelope in your life?
I have not.
Okay, so a few things. Not only has the public education system or whatever education systems you've been in has failed you, but you also shouldn't graduate. And if your college does give you a diploma, return it. Like, just give it back.
You receive mail, though, right? Like,
emails.
You don't have an actual physical mailbox at your house?
Yeah, I mean, but it's not my own house. I live there with my dad, and usually I don't ever have to send anything, like a physical copy
Okay,
back.
But you've never received mail where you actually saw that the envelope gets the stamp up in the right-hand corner?
I don't pay attention to the stamp. I just
Situational awareness, kids. Attention to detail.
Trev, you don't know either where the stamp goes?
Oh, no. I mean, I know that information. Okay. But I also think that me not knowing, because I'm a little intern here. This little,
you're not. This is your second semester. You're really good. We invited you to come back. We invited you to come back and work for free again.
Yeah, but like I don't want to mess up anything either. So like if I mess up the printer, then y'all can't print out the things that y'all need for the show to function. Like, okay, all the information.
Too much pressure.
You are getting a lot of support. A lot of support from text messages.
You guys know that you have to lick an envelope to close it?
I know that much.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not even blaming you guys. Like, I'm just blaming the school systems and society for not teaching you what you need to know in general population.
Can we take a quick break and just run? Because we're getting so many texts. We'll read them. But can we run a bunch of phone calls from people that either don't know themselves or know someone who can't do some basic things?
Please.
Like, you know what light, what like, when you come up to a traffic light, what light means stop?
Yeah, it's red.
That thing?
Well,
yeah,
that's
now we're getting somewhere.
And then, yeah, yellow means maybe stop.
Yeah, I got you.
Give us a phone call, 704-570-9595. What's some of the basic things you don't know?
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
You can imagine we were shocked when we found out that our interns don't know how to make a copy and they didn't know how to load the printer with paper, which, again, I'm not going to ding you too much on not knowing how to load the printer because there's four trays.
And to be honest, I don't even know where the paper is in the cabinet because it's never in the same cabinet.
So we wanted to hear from you at 704-570-9595. What's some of the basic things you don't know how to do?
And before we jump to the calls, there are tons of text messages coming through too, Roy, and a lot of them are 50-50, like based on people supporting the interns saying, hey, of course they don't know how to write a check or they don't know how to make a copy because they do everything digitally.
But you would still, by the time you get whatever job you have in the future, they're going to have a printer. You're going to want to know how to operate it before you get employed.
You understand, Trevor and intern Nick, that you guys will check off all the boxes on a job interview, like Roy's saying, and then they'll say, all right, now will you just go make a copy of your resume and bring it back? And you go, I don't know how to make the copy on the copy machine. And they'll go,
you'd be left next, out of the room.
Next recipient, please.
Let's talk with Jennifer and Charlotte. Welcome to the Manny Roy and the Rim Morning Show.
Hi.
Now, you work on a college campus. What did the student do?
So there was this one time that it was snowing outside, and we were in a classroom, and I watched a student trying to take a picture, and she was getting frustrated because she couldn't get the blinds to open. She was pulling them and, like, tugging them from the bottom, and when I pulled the string and they went up, she was like, oh, that's how that works.
Mind blown.
Magic.
So, like, wow.
You guys, could you open up the blinds in here? If you worked on it together, we give you five minutes. Yeah,
of course.
Teamwork. Right. Yeah. Thanks, Jennifer.
All right, let's talk with Katie in Statesville. Welcome to the Manny Roy and the Wren Show.
Hi. Two things. One, I don't know how to reload the ink in my printer, 28.
And we agree with you. Like, we couldn't do that either. Like,
not on this big work computer, the printer. It's massive.
Right. There's certain things that we don't know, but making a copy and loading paper, we feel like is kind of a basic necessity in life.
Yeah. And I don't know how to fill out those tax forms when you are applying for a job. I have had a lot of jobs, and I still don't know how to fill them out, and I've always had to ask my mom for help. And now that I'm married with kids, I feel like it's more complicated and more confusing.
I agree with that. That's one of the things I think they should teach you in school. But now, you know, we've got YouTube. Like, you can pretty much look up anything on YouTube.
Well, and that brings me up to my next point. There was something that you said off the air, Trevor, that I have to talk about.
Please bring it up.
You said, when it comes to making the copy, you probably could have figured it out.
Yeah, like, I could have figured it out, but, like,
Why didn't you figure it out?
Let's unpack that for a second. If in life, you always go, I probably could have figured it out, but you ask for someone else, you never are going to develop yourself. You're never going to be able to be better.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, for me, like, I want to be able to do things quickly. So it's like, I can get it done more quickly if I just ask.
But do you understand how annoying it is for your employer, for them to constantly have to teach you to do something in the future? like if they hire you, when you get a job, if they hire you, and then all of a sudden you keep going to them, be like, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? They're going to be like, well, what the heck did I hire you for? I can do it.
Well,
you
got to
figure it out.
It's tough. You know, at that point, then the job's just not going to get done.
Now, your MTV story.
Oh, yeah, the MTV story.
Yeah,
I was put, when I was an intern at MTV years ago, they put me on a task. I said, I don't know how to do it, and my my Nicole at MTV said, well, you're here till 6 and it's 12:30, so you'll figure it out and come back to me when you do.
Talk about the life building lesson there.
And there was no YouTube then.
No, there was no YouTube. There was no MP3s. Now listen, these two definitely don't know this when it comes to putting a letter in a mailbox.
All right.
When you put a letter in your mailbox, it doesn't end there.
All right, this is Jeannie and Stanley.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, so I had a roommate who I had to teach a lot of basic things to. She had put a letter out in the mailbox. And the next day, she's like, why didn't they take my letter?
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. Why wouldn't they take Jeannie's roommate's letter when she put it in the mailbox?
Because you got to put the flag up.
You have to put the little, well, you have to put the red flag up on the mailbox in order for the mailman to know to come by to get your letter.
Wow, look at that.
See, I'm not dumb.
We're not saying you are. That's why we're so surprised at this. Thanks, Jeannie.
I'm going to shock your mind even more. What if you don't have like the normal mailbox at the driveway? It's like on your front doorstep, and you don't have a red flag. What do you do then?
Now, this I don't know.
I don't know.
You know? You just stick your mail out. Make sure it's sticking out of the box so they can see it.
That makes sense.
Do either of you know how to file taxes?
Yes.
No.
Yes and no.
But H&R Block.
Nick is older than me, so...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm 23.
All right, you two.
What are you going to do then?
I just have to ask my parents, just like with the little W-2 forms and stuff.
I'll tell you what. We got on Loren years ago when she had an intern. This is like three
Thank
or four
you.
Years ago. She had an intern do her Christmas cards for her. And we were like, that's very personal and you shouldn't be using your intern.
I was teaching them life lessons.
You sure as heck were, Loren.
Ring it.
Now, it's time for Can't Beat Loren. Sponsored by Sona Dermatology and Med Spa. On KISS 95.1.
Steve, happy birthday. Welcome to the Manny Roy and Loren Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. You're playing Can't Beat Loren today. Let's see how you do on your birthday.
All right.
Throw her out, Steve.
All right, Loren. See ya.
Going.
Right. Loren is putting the headphones down. She's walking out of the studio, and she is... gone. We are quick on time today.
All right. Here we go, Steve. Sharon Osbourne's been dyeing her hair red for the last couple decades and now has gone all natural. She's married to which heavy metal singer?
Hey, Steve, we need you to turn the radio off, bud, and talk to us through your phone.
Okay, yeah, it was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know that answer.
All right, we all took a breath last night when we found out that Ryan Newman's injuries were not life-threatening after an accident in what race yesterday?
Daytona 500.
Pete Davidson really recently opened up about going to rehab. What NBC comedy sketch show is he part of? Pete Davidson. 3, 2, 1. No answer there, Roy. Nah. All right, we'll give it to him. It's his birthday. Question 4. Nick Jonas teamed up with John Legend, Blake Shelton, and Kelly Clarkson to sing his song, Jealous. Who is Nick Jonas's wife? 3, 2, 1. No answer there. Okay, Steph Curry and his wife have gone viral with a racy picture on social media while they were on vacation together. What is the team that Steph Curry currently plays for?
You know that.
All right, come on in, Loren. Well, at least you're going to get cake later today, Steve.
Yeah,
how did Steve do?
Too correct.
Oh, no.
All right, let's see how she does, Steve. Sharon Osbourne's been dyeing her hair for the last couple decades, and now she's gone all natural. Who is her heavy metal husband?
Ozzy.
1-0.
We took a breath when we heard that Ryan Newman's injuries were not life-threatening after a crash during what race yesterday?
The Daytona 500.
2-1.
Pete Davidson recently opened up about going to rehab. What NBC sketch comedy show is he a part of?
SNL.
3-2.
Nick Jonas teamed up with John Legend, Blake Shelton, and Kelly Clarkson to sing his song Jealous recently. Who is Nick's wife?
Priyanka Chopra.
That is correct. No answer from Steve. 4-2.
Question 5. Steph Curry and his wife have gone viral, posting a racy picture on social media while on vacation together. What team does Steph play for?
Golden State Warriors.
That is correct. Unfortunately, Steve did not know that one. Final score, 5-2. Loren, you have 61 wins, and happy birthday, Steve.
Oh, Steve, I don't even want to make you say it because it's your birthday, dude.
Steve from Huntersville, I'll enjoy my birthday, but I cannot beat Loren.
Thanks for playing, Steve. Happy birthday.
What a trooper.
All right, see you, bud. You gave him a butt whooping on his birthday.
Sorry.
Okay, quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Jordan, who sent us a DM. He wants to find out if his new coworker is single, but how can he do it without being creepy? We'll all weigh in less than 10 minutes.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
So Jordan sent us a message, and he wants to know how to find out if his coworker is single or not. And his message says just that. Yeah, he says, how do I find out if my coworker is single? I've been crushing on them, and after hours of social media stalking, I still can't figure it out. So should I just ask her how her dating life is? Or should I, like, how do you figure it out without being a weirdo? Do you think?
Well, okay, if you ask someone, are you single or are you... That's weird, right? You don't just go up and ask that. You just say, hey, would you like to go to dinner? And if she's in a relationship, she'll say, no, I'm dating someone.
Well, don't forget the whole coworker thing too, Roy. It's a coworker. It's a new coworker.
I know, but I thought asking someone to dinner on a date is professional.
Is it appropriate for office banter?
No. No. I don't know.
So then how do you ask?
You just
I don't know
went
what
back
office,
on your statement.
I don't know what office banter is. What is that?
Like appropriate office conversation.
Oh, yeah. If you want to ask someone out on a date. I thought banter is like you're going around gossiping. Be like, oh, I'm trying to get, you know.
Well, listen, if she doesn't feel comfortable with him asking that, she can go to HR. That's her right.
You're telling me if I just ask someone on a date, they can take me to HR and report me?
I think so.
What?
No, I don't think so.
If you can tell me no.
If you said no and then Roy kept asking, then that's harassment.
Okay.
But I don't think, like, if it's just a question, as long as he's not crossing any lines.
Okay, Nicole, you seem to know the office world better than we do because we stay in the studio and then leave. Do you think that asking a coworker if they want to go out to dinner is crossing the line?
No, I don't think that a simple, because how else would you find out the answer? So I think if you ask once and then take no, if no is the answer and you take no for the answer and go about your day. Now, it's probably still going to be awkward between you and that person, because if someone asked me out, I'd probably be awkward.
Really? Okay, well, so what about this? What if you say, hey, would you like to grab a coffee? And then at coffee, you know, because coffee is very office environment-y. You could run to your neighborhood barista and sit down and talk for a few minutes. And then you're removing yourself from like an office environment. And then you can maybe try to find out more about that person that way.
I like that. Hey, let's go grab coffee. I'll fill you in on all the gossip and who's messing around with who. And we'll see if we can't add to the gossip. No?
That sounds like an awful
idea.
Yeah,
okay. Maybe that's not the best approach. I see where you're going with it.
Hey, we're getting the perfect text messages, which is good because we could wrap this up in 2 seconds like a Judge Judy case. Ask her how her Valentine's Day was.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
More than one person is sending that in.
Gosh, I'm such an idiot. I didn't even think of that.
Me neither. I'm ready to have her break into, have him break into her house and look around and see if there's pictures.
Wait until she goes to the bathroom, jump on her computer at work and see if there's any photos of another.
First, find out her code to her phone.
Yeah.
Find out who her family is and interrogate them. No, that's a good idea. Say, hey, what'd you do for Valentine's Day? If she said, oh, I just stayed in, well.
Well, because, I mean, Jordan says that he's already spent hours on social media, like, basically doing his due diligence there.
Now, there is a whole nother side of this. Jordan, I think your answer to that question is ask how Valentine's Day was. Now, to move the conversation along, and we'll pick this up just after 8, like, should he not even go there? We need to talk about if you dated someone or you were married to someone and yet you still work together. Like, that's got to be totes aki momo.
There's radio shows where it's a marriage, literal. I mean, we're radio husband and wife, but it's literally husbands and wives that do radio shows.
Mm-hmm. And are they still together?
Yeah. In fact, there was this awesome show, and they're no longer doing the show. They're still married, but they never revealed on the radio that they were actually married.
David and Anna?
No.
Well, I worked with them. They were married.
No. Okay. But on the air, they would talk about how crappy their husband or crappy their wife was the night before. In reality, they were talking about each other.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
And then on the final show, when they signed off, they're like, oh, by the way, we've been married the whole time.
That's cool.
That is great. We used to, in Florida, we used to have a couple coffee in the morning. And you could always...
Let me write that one down.
You could always tell when they were mad at each other. But we knew they were married, too.
Well, if any of us get mad at each other, we talk about it.
Yeah.
I know. Loren just stormed out of here. Roy's not talking to me. All right, let's get into that just after 8. So if you have a story and you can add to that, because we know somebody here who used to be married and they work together.
I just want to say I love y'all's show. I listen to y'all every morning.
Well, honk of your horn and flash of your lights for the MRL show. We appreciate it.
This is the MRL Morning Show with Manny, Roy, and Loren.
Ever dated or married and still work with your significant other? Give us a phone call. 704-570-9595.
Yeah, we have a lot of people on hold that are married and work, but we want to know, like, the other side of it, because that's easy. Like, let's say hi to Aaron, Roy.
Hello, Aaron.
Hi there.
Aaron, you work with your husband.
Yes.
Well, what happens if he becomes your ex-husband? Are you going to quit your job?
Not likely. Not likely. I like what I do, and we actually get along really well.
Now you do, but if you broke up, would you?
I think that we would. I would like to think that we would anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we have, by the way, a lot of people are texting us saying we were talking about on-air people who are married, and there's one right here in the building, in all fairness, that we forgot.
Charlie and Debbie.
Yeah.
Yep, Charlie and Debbie, they're married. They do the afternoons every day.
On 103.7, yep. our sister country station. But there's also another couple here who used to be married, and I had no idea. And
are they divorced?
One works in our engineering department, and one works in sales.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that is true. I forgot about them.
And they don't seem to be, they work together, but I don't see them, hobnobbing in the lobby and talking about going to lunch.
I don't feel like they work so hand in hand, though, but they do still live together.
What?
Yeah, they live together.
They live together?
Yeah, because I remember she was saying something about him having, like, his own, I think, man cave.
Okay, thanks.
Well, you gotta learn to separate the professional from the personal.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it comes in.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, and that's the thing. Sterling, I asked him one day, I was like, because I have this real estate business, and I said, hey, would you ever take it over and like run it for me so that way I can, focus on radio and still have that going in the background? And then he's like, I could never work for you. He's like, I would never be able to work for you ever. And I'm like, I get it. I'm pretty tough to deal with.
I don't know if Dallas could either.
Yeah, believe me, your significant others ask me what it's like to work with you two every day, and I tell them it's not easy. I had no idea that the couple here who's divorced, they still live together.
Yeah.
That's another.
They're friends.
Can we get them in here?
Well, I don't know if they're here.
I mean, you said they're friends. I didn't think they were.
I think so. They seem friendly.
You're debunking everything I just said, which is fine. I might be wrong.
Here's the thing. They're adults. They're not petty.
No, I get it. But I just said I don't see them going to lunch. I don't see them talking to each other and hobnobbing in the lobby. And you're saying that I'm wrong that they do that.
I don't see them doing that, but they keep it. They live together. There's a certain level of professionalism, I'm sure. And friendship.
Here? This place? Professionalism?
Let's talk with Amy in Concord.
Amy.
Hey, guys.
You texted in.
Yeah.
So you work with two exes. Tell us that story.
I do. So one I dated back in high school, and I don't see him every day, but he comes in to where I work a lot, and his dad actually works for us, and then I work every day with a more recent ex. We're in racing and motorsports, so it's kind of all close-knit, so you see a lot of people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're both kind of moved on. One's married and one's living with someone, and it's it's awkward, but you just got to make it work sometimes.
How do you see one more than the other?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Amy brings up racing. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but obviously our thoughts and prayers are with Ryan Newman and his whole team yesterday after we got a report. We're still waiting for a new update this morning. Nothing's come through.
I think it's the same update that he's serious condition, but non-life-threatening.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, Amy. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye. Yeah,
bye. It's not easy working with your ex.
This is Brooke and Maiden.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing really well. So you're married to someone who works with you?
Well, we used to work together. We worked together for almost 5 years, and we met about 8 months after I started working there, and I actually was the one that trained him when he started working there.
So did it come down to the point where you were like, listen, we're going to get married, so one of us needs to leave our job?
actually, when we finally got married, it was last year, and I wasn't working there at the time. He was still there, though. And then I came back when I got pregnant with our first baby. And we worked together through my whole pregnancy. And then I didn't go back when I had my baby. And then he quit maybe a month after my baby was born.
Okay.
Hmm.
But it was okay working together.
Oh, yeah. We worked in a at a gas station. So besides me and my boss, he was the only other full-timer. So we worked close together every single day, and there's a lot of stress with a convenience store, but we always work so great together.
Nice, Brooke. Okay, there you go. Here I am trying to paint the tainted picture. The couple that's not married anymore that works together still lives together here at the radio station, and I can't get my head wrapped around that.
Could you work with your wife?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, she was.
I can't really live with her, let alone work with her. I'm joking. No, it's. But, like, listen, my wife was gone for 3 weeks for work during the week, only home on the weekends. Last night was like her first night home where the kids had school. Yesterday, Dean didn't have school. So the night routine that we normally had was a little out of whack because she's been gone.
Right.
And then the kids go to the nanny. She wanted to know why. And, you know, she was a little upset that we didn't stick to the plan that we have, you know. And then my son doesn't ever lie for me, so I'm in trouble right away.
You got to come up with
that. Does dad agree to you every night? No. Do you read to dad? No. Do you do homework? No. And I'm going, bro, I'm right here. We do write a little, and we read every once in a while.
I love that the first day she's back, you're already in trouble.
So Amanda gets upset at me.
Straight sailed down the river, too.
And I walk, you know, I'm walking down the hallway. I'm still trying to get Ryan Newman updates. And I'm walking down the hallway, and I go out loud. I said, this is why we work as a marriage. We're yin and yang. Like, you're very much into that, and I'm kind of not. So it just works.
But imagine how much better you would work together if you actually worked together. And
working together is listening to her.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not harping on you because my husband does the same thing sometimes. So
yeah, well, could you work with Dow?
Oh, heck no.
Right.
We can barely parent together because we just have different parenting styles.
Let me show you how idiot I am. I think I could work very well with Sterling, and he very disagrees. I'm like, really? He's like, there's no way. And I'm like, I think we'd mesh well.
But you think that because if Sterling listened to everything that you say, then you would work well. If Dallas listened to everything that I said, then yes, we would work well together. Same with Manny and Amanda. If Manny listened to Amanda, it would be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think we could work together. There's just no way. It's crazy. Well, good. Hats off to all you people in working America that are married or divorced and still pulling it off.
Coming up next with the Manny, Roy, and Loren Show.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I got wind that you might have saved one of your work wives' lives.
I'm just saying, Nicole wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for me.
Is this a recent incident?
This is. And I'm not being that dramatic, surprisingly. We'll discuss in 5 minutes.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
Nicole, that voice you heard in the background was Nicole. And I saved your life. And listen, you don't have to thank me yet.
Is he exaggerating?
Y'all are all so dramatic all the time.
No.
I heard the story, and it sounds like he saved your life, if you ask me.
No.
There's video proof of it, too.
All right, what happened?
So we went to a luncheon, and we were at a hotel, and we had to go park in the parking garage. I'm not going to bore you with the details of the stories that led to that point, but just know that we got locked out.
Okay.
And it was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
It's always a whole thing with you.
Yeah. It always is. Now, in order to get back to the parking garage, there's a door, and the door opens up to a bridge that walks to the parking deck. And then beside the door is a wall that you could jump over. Now, the key word there was a bridge. So if you jump over the wall, you're not going to get on the bridge. You're going to fall 20 feet to your death.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I could tell that Nicole, when she was up there, she said, you know, I have the idea. Since we're locked out, let me hop over the wall to get to the car.
I know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah, that's dangerous.
Very dangerous. And so I stopped her because I said, whoa, look, this isn't part of the bridge. If you jump, you're not going to hit the bridge. You're going to hit all the way 20 feet to the ground.
And then I said, okay, and then the story concluded.
You had a leg hiked.
But if Roy wasn't there, jumped over.
No, because I wasn't eyeing the right thing. So had I gotten up there and seen the drop, I would have said, okay, never mind. And I would have stepped back down.
From what I saw, it was like an episode of Cops. You know when cops are like running and jumping fences fast?
Yeah.
That's what I thought Nicole was about to do.
Yeah.
She was about to run, jump over this wall, and then fall down to the 20-foot death.
Something she has experience with.
Right.
Running from the popo.
Oh, yeah. You know me.
In fact, one of her best TV appearances was an episode of Cops.
Yeah. And I stopped
Idiot.
It.
What? No. Hold on. In all seriousness, be honest, and don't just roll your eyes, because sometimes it's little things like that make a big difference in somebody's life. Would you have jumped over it thinking you could have made it?
No.
From my perspective, she had one leg over.
You know what? There is something better on the show sheet for you guys to talk about.
I don't know. Roy saving your life seems pretty important to me.
He didn't save my life.
I was concerned.
Can I tell you something?
I almost had a lunch for
Roy. You got your phone out. You didn't move as much as a muscle other than to press record.
I said almost had to. I was still filming.
If she had fallen 30 feet, how long would it take you to get down there to check on her well-being?
She'd be screwed because I wouldn't know how to get in. I'm locked out. So she would just sit down there. And then I can imagine that 911 call. Okay, sir, where is she? I don't know.
She just disappeared.
She's in a garage. Which garage? I don't know. We're locked out.
Has anybody else ever had that moment where, like, you jumped over the ledge of something and then you realized as you're falling, it's higher than you thought? No.
Although, no.
I had that happen. I was at an outdoor restaurant, okay, and I wanted to run to my car to go get something. And instead of running through the inside of the restaurant and cutting through, I just lunged over the balcony. And I realized as I was falling down, I'm like, damn, dude, this is higher than I thought.
Yeah.
I felt like an accordion. I was like.
And it hurts your shins. Like in high school, when the bleachers would be like pushed halfway for practice or whatever, and you'd be at the top of the bleachers and you would just like hop down. It never seemed far. But as soon as you'd land, you'd get that little
feeling in
your shins, yeah, like it stings.
Yeah.
I never jumped anything off. I remember a buddy of mine left something at his friend's house, and I said, well, let me run over to the house and get it. Now, instead of running down the road like a normal person, I thought I can cut through the backyard. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's in the middle of the night. So I dart through the yards to go to get this thing at this house. I didn't realize there's a chain linked fence.
Ooh.
And it's dark, and I am running full sprint, and I nail the fence so hard that my buddy flips over it. It was so bad.
Lauren, didn't you fall in Miami trying to jump a fence or something?
Sure did. I was at my mom's place, and we were trying to get into the pool, and I was all hammered. And I was like, I can totally make this. And I got all the way up to the top of the gate and then proceeded to fall down the other side. Yeah. And I had black and blue marks like all over my leg.
It's messed up, man. Do you remember I told you the story about my brother running from the cops when he first became a student at University of Kansas? He moved from Jersey. Mm-hmm. And they went to a public pool after hours. So somebody called the cops on them because they were being loud. The cop shows up with the spotlight. It's dark out. My brother's, 19-year-old freshman. And the cop gets on the megaphone. And this is how my brother tells the story. He says, everybody freeze. Don't run. Don't try to outrun me. I happen to be the Kansas State sprint champ, and I'm going to catch somebody tonight.
Oh.
So everybody runs but my brother. And the guy says to my brother, come close to the car, son. And he comes close to the car, and the guy is just like a big cat, like a linebacker or like an offensive lineman. And he goes, hell, boy, where are you from? That never works for nobody. I can't believe you listened to me. My brother ended up getting a ticket or something. Yep. Falling over fences. That's what we do. And saving people's lives, Nicole. Yeah.
You're welcome, Nicole. Talk about something else.
I'm always looking out for you.
Bravo, buddy.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Okay, Roy, you need it. You needed this.
Thank you. Talk about something kind of cool, Nicole, because more people are actually dying doing this than dying in shark attacks.
Jumping over ledges?
No. Not having Roy around to save them? Yes. No, it's something that we all do several times a day in some instances. Hmm. And more people are dying from doing that. We'll talk about it.
It's all coming up at 5.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
Okay, Roy, you just talked about this, and you said it perfectly. You said more people die from doing this than in shark attacks, and chances are...
You've probably done it.
Yeah, people have already done it.
This morning.
And definitely will probably do it today.
Is it eating, like choking?
We're getting guesses. It's not, Loren, eating or choking.
Drowning?
Not falling in the shower. It's not drowning. Not riding in an elevator.
Hmm.
Think about this. If you were looking really good this morning and you liked your vibe... What would you do?
Look at
take
myself.
Take a selfie.
Take a selfie.
Oh.
Take a selfie is right. A new survey found that 41% of us have already risked our safety in pursuit of a selfie, while more than half of us would stand on the edge of a cliff for the ideal photo or a bridge.
I do remember not too long ago, and I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was in like Ireland or something. They ended up putting like selfie patrol up on some cliff because people were getting too dangerously close to the edges. So they put these people up there to take your photo so that you didn't have to take the selfie.
Okay. I'm okay with that too, by the way. Like, I don't always need the selfie. You know? Like, I'm okay with asking someone to take the picture of the moment.
Sure.
Right? In a recent poll by Case24.com, they asked 2,000 people to find out what they were willing to do to appear in an Instagram-perfect selfie. And they found that the testosterone-fueled men are more likely to take risks than women. 61% of men accepted the challenge of a cliff-edge photo compared to only 30% of the females. Hmm. So, by the way, one in 10 said that they sustained injuries while attempting to take a selfie. The reported accidents range from falling down hills to falling off bikes to being knocked down by a wave or falling off the ledge.
See, I kind of feel like the thing is now is to not do selfies, to get people to take photos of you with you pretending like you don't know that you're being taken a photo of. That
candid.
Seems to be the yeah. Candid photos are so in.
And you're right, Roy. That is true. Loren's good at candid photos.
Very good.
Asking Dallas to take a photo.
She's sitting there sipping a drink as if she doesn't know there's a camera right there.
And Dallas loves it. I have a 3-photo limit on any time I ask Dallas to touch a camera.
You don't even know this. This is hilarious. You left Friday to go to New York like 2 weeks ago, and we're still in here. And Roy goes, look, Loren already has a picture posted.
Yeah.
And it was you holding your luggage inside Charlotte Airport. And Dallas took it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this study comes 7 months after a new study came out saying that there's more deaths related to taking selfies than shark attacks. Not deaths, but just being attacked by a shark. Okay. Not being killed by a shark, just being attacked by one. Which I guess makes sense because, like, Nicole wouldn't even go in the ocean. So she's out. But she would take selfies. So I think more people take selfies than put themselves at risk of a shark.
I see where you're going with that.
You know?
Yeah.
But we do have to open the phones and throw out the question of...
Did you ever get hurt?
You taking a selfie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to find out what you did to get hurt taking that selfie.
You can give us a phone call at 704-570-9595.
Clever Trevor, is there a good spot on campus where everyone takes selfies at UNCC?
Yeah. We got a couple good spots. We have the Botanical Gardens where all like the plants are and, you know, where we keep all of our good architecture.
The Venus flytrap come get you.
Yeah, that's a good spot. The Union steps are always a good spot to take pictures for.
Okay. Are those dangerous?
They can be. If you're not paying attention. I've slipped down those steps before. I've fell up the stairs before. On my phone.
Up the stairs. Yeah. Right, give us a phone call. 704-570-9595. We'll take your calls next.
This is the MRL Morning Show with Manny, Roy, and Lorette on KISS 95.1.
Did you ever get hurt doing a dumb? Did you ever get hurt doing a dumb thing? Give us a phone call, 704-570-9595. In a new study that came out, it says 41% of us have already risked our safety and risked our lives in pursuit of a really cool selfie, whether standing on the edge of a cliff or going in the water in front of a big wave or standing on the edge of a bridge. So if you got hurt taking a selfie, text us or call us right away. We need to hear the circumstances. Let's say good morning to...
This is Aaron in Charlotte.
Hi. So I wish that my story was really cool and risky, but it was really just taking a selfie on the treadmill, and I face-planted off of the treadmill and flew off and hit the door. Luckily, I was not at the gym. It was in the privacy of my own home because it was super embarrassing. But I got banged up on my shins pretty bad from that.
Was anybody around to see it?
No, but I kind of secretly wish somebody was because I was laughing hysterically to myself because of it.
Did you get any of the selfie?
Not really. I was trying to take a picture of myself plus the time and miles I had ran, forgetting that I didn't stop the treadmill when I was hopping back on.
Oh,
so
no.
I kind of got it, but... But yeah, I didn't get the picture of the aftermath.
It's just blurry.
I probably should have.
It's just her flying into the door.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, Aaron. Yeah, and would you say you were more embarrassed or hurt after?
Embarrassed at first, and then the next day I was pretty sore, and then I saw all the bruising and the scratches.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron just broke the ice, everybody. So now everyone else can feel safe sharing amongst your friends, Manny, Roy, and Loren, and crew, about how you got hurt taking a selfie.
704-570-9595. That's how you call the studio. You can also text the show.
I got to ask you, Lorraine, going back to you and you taking your pictures.
Yeah.
You said Dallas gives you a 3-picture minimum.
Yes. Or maximum, I guess.
Sorry. 3-picture maximum. Don't ask for any more than 3.
Right.
What if you're at the airport and you don't like the lighting? Does that count as 2?
Yes.
Oh, so it's just 3. That's all you get.
That's why, he'll take one, and I'll be like, just take one and let me see it first. Let me see what I'm dealing with. Because I'm not going to waste all 3 pictures right then and there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, does he know how to do portrait mode and all the cool stuff?
No, he's got, an iPhone 7 or 6 or something that doesn't have portrait mode. So when I ask him, you would think I was asking him to take, the SATs again or something.
It is funny. I always think about you and other people too, other bloggers and other people that post on socials, like celebrities and stuff. It's like you have to ask someone to grab the picture.
Yeah, and we were doing so well for a minute, and I hadn't asked Dallas to do it for a really long time. And now it's like he's forgotten everything that I've taught him. So now I get no good photos.
He's forgotten everything I taught him.
He really doesn't. He really doesn't remember anything. And now that I'm pregnant, I need a new angle. So he's I'm out.
I know that Tori, who works here, and JD, who works on V101 in the middays, they take pictures downstairs. But I think they have a partnership. Take some of me, I'll take some of you.
Okay.
Like JD will post her official outfit of the day all the time.
See, that's what I need. I need a partnership with someone.
Go join them.
Roy, you want to be my partner?
That's fine. I'll take photos.
What's your maximum?
I'll do whatever. I don't care.
It's so nice of you.
I'll take whatever. If you could just teach me how to be so photogenic, I'd do all those things.
All right. We'll grab more phone calls on selfie injuries. Plus, did you guys see Cam Newton has issued a new challenge to all of us?
The Ox Challenge? Am I saying that correctly? Okay, let's discuss about that because I want to know more. It's on the way in 5 minutes.
The MRL Morning Show on demand.
So there's this thing called the Cam Newton Ox Challenge. What is it?
Cam took to his phone yesterday while he was driving and asked us to do this.
Let's start a hashtag. Let's start a hashtag, and it's going to be hashtag... Let me hold the ox. For the real ox controllers, every time you get in the car, that's the slogan that you use because you the DJ. And today, I'm going to start it off with this. You dig?
So he wants you basically
to send him, using the hashtag Aux Challenge, A-U-X Challenge, he wants you to send him the music that you like to listen to while you drive. Simple concept, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to his first song.
Hey. 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 Listen, Smith. Something like.
By the way, we're all currently in Cam's Rolls Royce.
Oh.
While okay. you're listening to this. Yeah. I don't want to be alone tonight. It's pretty clear that I'm not over you. You're in Cam Newton's car right now, and you can hear him in the background singing. So he's singing, he's having a good time with it.
Okay, so he wants people to do that.
Yes. So, yesterday, Roy, I answered the challenge. And I showed him what was on my playlist, what I like to listen to while I'm in the car. Do you want to hear my version, Loren?
Yeah, I do.
You're already laughing. What kind of music do you think it's going to be?
Oh, it's 80s for sure.
No.
Just for my dude, Cam. Hashtag, let me hold the ox. He's trying to hear people's playlists. I see you, Cam. I know you're into the hip-hop. I know you're into the rock and roll, the reggaeton, the EDM. But what you know about 80s, Cam? This right here...
By the way, there's a song that's more 80s. I don't know it.
I know. And by the way, this is the worst angle on you.
Oh, dude, it was the only way I could... I don't have a Rolls Royce selfie stick in the car like he does.
You might know them from their hit song, Don't You Forget About Me, or Alive.
So I'm going to tag him. I'm going to post this.
This one right here, this is the joint. It's called All the Things She Said, and I just love the guitar in it and the singing.
By the way, I'm jamming it, and I have my daughter in her car seat. And I'm about a mile from my house when I do this. And so I'm driving through the neighborhood, so I know I can be safe, you know. And I have it cranked. I get into my driveway, and I go to take Ruby out of her car seat, and she's got both hands on her ears.
Oh, poor thing. Subjected her.
I had it to her for the gram.
Was it too loud, or did she just not like the music?
It's the oldie. She don't like that old stuff, man.
The chance it could have been both, Loren. But I want you guys to do it. Like, what song would you do for Hold the Aux Challenge?
Oh, let's see what's on my latest. I don't know. I listen to everything. Like, I've been getting into the Bee Gees right now.
But you gotta get... That's funny.
Yeah.
You gotta give Cam something that he would be like, okay, like, he says he wants to hear the stuff that he might not know about.
Okay.
And he knows country. He knows hip-hop.
Okay.
And give him some Bee Gees. Like Night Fever.
I'm sure he knows.
Let the night fever knock you
There's
out.
There's a song called Sunday's Best. It's pretty good. It's like a little chill song. All right, I'll
By
do
By the Bee Gees?
It. No.
Oh. Okay. Loren, Roy, Nicole, and Clever you, Trevor, I want you all to do it. Yeah. And everybody. Hashtag AUX Challenge for Cam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.